Why would we want to eradicate Jews? She was crying and she said, I found this verse in the Quran.
I've been so worried about the Palestinian people and especially the kids who've been dying. And it says here in the Quran.
But what about if someone pushes back and says, hold on, but aren't you the guys that are saying from the river to the sea?
Palestinians are doing everything that was described Job doing in the Bible.
I've not seen any footage of Palestinian people cursing Jewish people or Israeli people. These are people of God.
Know these people were blessed by Allah himself.
Assalamu alaikum, greetings of peace. Welcome to the Deen Shah Media, your host. And I'm with not one, two, but three Muslims. Not just three Muslims, but three Muslims from the Three Muslims podcast.
This is the Deen Show.
I love you, Muslim. I love all the work that you're doing.
When I was ready to talk about it, I would only talk to you.
And I was explaining how much respect I have for the faith of Islam.
Welcome to the Deen Show, the Deen Show.
How are you brothers doing? Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi. Doing good. How are you doing, Eddie?
Go ahead, introduce yourselves for our audience.
Yeah, my name is Fahed Alhamdulillah, co-host of the Three Muslims, the realest podcast in the dunya.
My name is Angel, also one of the co-hosts of the Three Muslims podcast.
And my name is Rami, the third Muslim here. Alhamdulillah, from the Three Muslims.
Alhamdulillah.
So you've been with us before. You've been here before, huh? So yes. You brought the whole crew now, huh?
Yeah.
It's good to have you,
brothers. Alhamdulillah.
So this is first time it's for you guys in Chicago. You've been here before, right?
Yeah, I passed through Chicago once.
Yeah. How about you, Rami?
Yeah, actually, I've never been to Chicago at all. So this is a great first experience.
How's the first experience?
Amazing, alhamdulillah. Aside from the gunshots, amazing.
Gunshots.
Yeah. Like
Chirac.
Chirac.
Chi-town, Chirac. Yeah.
Alhamdulillah.
Depends where you're at, uh-huh. So, how's everything going with you, brothers?
Little depressing, man, with the whole Gaza situation right now, honestly. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I catch myself really complaining about mundane things in my mind. Like, oh, why are things not this way? Why are things not that way? And these are such trivial matters. Mm-hmm. And we're afforded such luxuries today in the modern world that we forget that some of these kids, they don't even know if they're going to make it till Maghrib. Yet the level of nur on their face, subhanAllah, they don't fear anything. They're so content. No negative emotion in their face, bro.
Mm-hmm.
It makes me wonder, like Allah has an interesting way of balancing the scales.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I don't know when it's going to be our time. I just pray that, you know, Allah gives us all ease and
Ameen.
Eases the hearts and minds of those that are oppressed the most.
Mm-hmm. Ameen.
Allahumma ameen.
I want to go ahead and get your guys' reaction, and I'm going to start off with this one video because we're going to be throwing some words around. You might hear Jew, Zionist, you might hear Christian, so people can see where we're coming from, because Islam is a just way of life, and we don't discriminate against anybody just because he's of a certain ethnicity, religion. We have a way of life that calls us to be just across the board. So let's kick off and get your guys' reaction to this Muslim who's actually, he's showing some love to somebody that some people would be like, why is he going that far? So let me hear what you guys have to say. Now, who was that? For people that don't know, they think that might be just another Jew who's actually hugging, and I don't know if he was even kissing the other Jews. What was going on here?
It looks like a young Muslim man appreciating a group of probably Orthodox Jews who are standing against Zionism and with the Palestinian people. I can't say I would have behaved any differently if I saw something like that. Actually, when we were here in Chicago,
so
right?
you would have did the same thing almost.
Probably,
he's probably overwhelmed with emotion.
St. Louis, bro.
Yeah, when right before we left from St. Louis, we stopped at a burger shop and we saw a group of people marching for Palestine, subhanAllah. And just
So hold on, you're Palestinian also.
Yeah.
So what you're saying is you would have done the same as a Palestinian, because what they're telling us, the media, is that you want to, your people, you're Palestinian, you want to eradicate Jews.
Why would we want to eradicate Jews? The Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he married Jews. He lived with Jews. He made peace treaties with Jews. He allowed them to have their own culture, their own religion, their own courts based on the religion. There is no such thing as the eradication of Jews in Islam. And, you know, what I love about
So if Sean Hannity, if he invited you on, you'd come on?
100%. 100%. You know, I will talk to anyone, Zionist, Jewish, non-Zionist, Christian, because this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he tells us to do in the Quran. He says, you know, discuss, debate with them with passionate, with mercy and hikmah, I think, or just at least with hikmah, with wisdom.
Yeah, with wisdom, yes.
Yeah, so... May Allah forgive me for misquoting the ayah. So this is what we do as Muslims. We discuss with all different walks of life, all different people, because at the end of the day, we want them to come to Islam because we believe that's what's best for them. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given every human leeway. He says, لا إكراه في الدين. You know, there's no compulsion in religion. So I don't want to eradicate anyone. No Muslim wants to eradicate anyone. We actually want to establish peace in the earth, and we believe Islam is a way to do that.
Absolutely.
You wanted to add something?
I was just going to say a quick ayah from the Quran. Allah says in the Quran, you know, if you kill one innocent life, it's as if you've killed all of mankind. If you save one innocent life, it's as if you've saved all of mankind. So why would we not behave in accordance to how Allah wants us to behave, first and foremost, before how we want to, based on our whims and desires?
But what about if someone pushes back and says, hold on, but aren't you the guys that are saying from the river to the sea? What does that mean?
Well, I mean, from the river to the sea just means that all the occupied Palestinian land that was stolen from the Palestinians illegally and given to a group of people to make a Jewish state, to the Zionists to make a Jewish state, will be free, inshallah, one day. Because I'm sure if anyone at home had their home or their grandparents' home or their great-great-grandparents' home broken into and stolen for a few decades, maybe a few generations, eventually the rightful owners will want to take control of their home, their property again, especially when you have a group of people who are being persecuted, because it's not just about the land itself. Like, let's put the land aside for a second. There's a whole demographic of people who are being oppressed. So when we say from the river to the sea, Palestine will be free, we're not just talking about the land. We're talking about the people who will no longer be ethnically cleansed, who will no longer be killed or persecuted against within this apartheid state of Israel.
Mm-hmm. That's deep. I mean, so we started off with a Muslim. Was he kissing? He was hugging?
Yeah.
And he actually kissed the...
Yeah, I think he kissed the child, yeah.
Yeah. So that's like driving some people insane who are pushing this hate, right? Mm. So the Muslim showing love. You actually, as a Palestinian... You're saying that you probably would have been doing the same thing, giving a hug, right?
Absolutely.
We're just dispelling so many of these myths and all of this propaganda that's trying to create this division and fear. Did you want to add to that?
Yeah, I wanted to ask you, how would you handle the situation?
Because you're seeing someone coming up who's also brave enough, a lot of these rabbis and whatnot, to speak against oppression. So yeah. You feel like, man, this is how all human beings should be. They should be standing for oppression, against oppression.
So you're ethnically Bosnian.
Yes.
Let's say the roles were reversed here, and you got a Serb.
Yes.
That's, you know, out here saying, I don't condone whatever happened, you know, to Bosnia. Would you be acting the same way as his brother was towards
I'd show him some love, absolutely, because he's putting his neck on the line. He's speaking the truth, absolutely.
So you don't continue this cycle of hatred.
Hate breeds hate, then that breeds violence. And where are we at? We're at where we're at today.
So where do you think this comes from? Because there's a lot of people, unfortunately, they carry on this cycle of hatred after generation and generation.
I mean, I think that's going away from God. It's going away from, because when you're connected to your Creator... Your Creator has certain attributes. He's the most loving, the most just, the most kind. So when you're just, you're not doing injustice. Absolutely. So when there's justice, then there's peace. So the Muslims, when Muslims were ruling at that time, Jerusalem, and people can check the history, there was often when we talk about it, it's one thing. They say, oh, you guys, you know, trying to sugarcoat, you're trying to change it. But there's actually, you can go right now and go when Muslims conquered Jerusalem. And I was watching actually this professor, American professor, and he was talking about how Umar, the Caliph of Islam, when he came, and we're not even talking about Salahuddin Ayyubi yet, right? When he came on the scene, and we won't even go to Prophet Muhammad because they're imitating Prophet Muhammad, the last final messenger. He was talking about how the temple of the Jews was just over covered with, for how many, 400 or 500 years, mm-hmm. just garbage. And he on his own, the Muslim ruler, he's removing the garbage from the temple. And he's like, where are the Jews at? And they're like, man, we threw them out. Sepphoris, was it Sepphoris? He was the head priest, the head patriarch. And he's like, we kicked them out. And Omar radiallahu anhu, this is the Muslim ruler, he's like, get them back. He's like, he brought so many, I think, I don't know how many, 70, 80, and they repopulated Jerusalem. Look it. This is mind-blowing. So how would Muslims be those who want to eradicate Jews when they're repopulating Jerusalem?
SubhanAllah.
This is part of it. Like, let me give you guys something else here that we can get into. You guys probably grew up, like most of us, watched, you know, Rambo is Sylvester Stallone. Mm-hmm. Terminator?
Yeah.
Yes. 1, 2, 3. How many of them were there?
I think there were three.
There was a lot of them, right?
Three or four.
Yeah. So people know when I say Arnold Schwarzenegger, right?
Yeah.
Okay, let's see our friend Arnold.
Why? Never again is the rallying cry of all of the people who fight to prevent another Holocaust. The amount of millions of people that died was absolutely unnecessary, and it was something that we should never, ever repeat again.
What do you guys think?
I appreciate him for coming out and speaking in this time. It's actually very difficult, unfortunately, for a lot of celebrities, namely celebrities, yes. To speak out in any regard for the Palestinian people. Now, although he didn't explicitly mention Palestine, Israel, what's going on, I think it's really big because a lot of celebrities take the easy route of just condemning what everyone's calling a terrorist group. But they're not taking the time to really look into what's happening on the bigger picture. So I do appreciate that. He's alluding to something very important, which is this idea of never again. You see, during World War II, I can't help but wonder why it took so long for America to get involved and so long for the world to acknowledge what was happening and really, really try and put an end to it. Mm. It also makes me wonder what the heck the people in Germany were doing, if they were agreeing with what was happening or if they were opposing it. And if they didn't oppose it, why not? And I ask these questions because when you look at today, what's happening, you see a lot of people denying what's happening right now. You see a lot of people actually supporting what's happening to the Palestinians right now. This is an ethnic cleansing that has been going on for 75 years.
75
years. 75 years.
Imagine if you got a bad neighbor, like who's, that neighbor is parking in your driveway, that neighbor is leaving the garbage uncovered maybe and it's spilling over to yours or right, but let alone someone who's stealing your your land.
Yeah,
let alone since 1948.
Yeah, here people would just draw their weapon and say, get off my lawn or you're gonna get shot. And in some cases when they do shoot, they're not even liable. But for some reason, when a whole group of people who have been ethnically cleansed for 75 years fights back, they are barbaric. They are evil. They are doing evil things because they're evil people. No ifs, ands, or buts.
I think the UN also gives them right.
Yeah, by law, they have the right. Any occupied person has the right to defend themselves against the occupier. And that's just one crime.
Let's continue on with Arnold.
What do you do about the Israel-Palestine question?
I think that what the Biden administration is doing is the right way to go. You know, I think that we have to acknowledge that Israel was attacked viciously, unprovoked. I'm 100% with the Israelis in this case, but...
So...
But what?
This is the thing. So what do you guys think? I think Arnold, and I wanted to point this out and bring this up because he's somebody who's a legend for many people. And I think he's getting half the story. Either he's very ignorant, he just doesn't know, and he's just following the mainstream narrative.
Yeah.
He hasn't taken a deep dive, because, or otherwise, because we right now, us, I don't know if you guys are paying members to any organization in Palestine. Are you, like, you know, with any groups? I know I'm not.
No.
We're just for the children. I know myself. I can't, you know, I'm pretty much see you guys on the same page here. So, but he says he stands. He stands with the country,
right,
the IDF, these people who are now committing a genocide. And they also have a two sets of laws for different people, apartheid state. So I'm just thinking, I don't know what you guys think. He would be someone who'd have to answer for that. What do you think?
So first off, I'd say that, you know, Allah knows best. Anything we say would just be speculation, right?
Yeah.
We don't know what's in his heart. But first, you know, from watching these videos, you can gather from it that, you know, well, he's a normal human, right? He feels, looking back in the past, he'll see what was done to the Jews from the Germans. He himself is German. He sees that, and he can, is it sympathize or empathize?
Sympathizer,
yeah.
He can sympathize because he sees.
It's a horrible thing, yeah.
It's a horrible thing.
Thing.
Any
yeah,
human
Islam,
with a right state of mind.
Condemns
yeah, yeah.
that, yeah, absolutely.
Exactly. But from what is going on, you can tell that either one, like you said, either he's ignorant or he's bought out.
He's bought and the master falling out.
My question is, never, if he's coming out with this and he's saying never again, my question is, does that include Palestinians or it doesn't? That's my question. Because if this is happening in real time right now and we're saying never again, why aren't people like him stepping up and say, hold on, I just said never again, so we got to stop this?
Yeah, it's a very good point. And I think, as the brothers mentioned, it's one of two things. Either it's ignorance or, I don't want to say bought out, but an unwillingness to speak on it for whatever personal reasons. I'm going to assume it's ignorance. I think most people, unfortunately, are not educated on it. Mm-hmm. And I think there has been a big shift socially in the social media sphere that brings about a change in people's mind on the issue. So for Arnold, I think the question you pose is very important. And I would take it a step further. I would ask very specifically, are you okay with children being bombed in the aim of getting at an enemy? Thousands of children. I genuinely want to know what he has to say about that. I think he's a good guy. I think he would say no, genuinely. And I think anyone who says yes would very obviously and quickly switch the narrative if it was, like, you know, their own people being bombed, if it was their children being bombed. So I think that's why it's important to frame this just from, like Dr. Sabil Ahmed told us, from a humanitarian perspective. This is not just Arabs. This is not just Palestinians. These are human beings. Imagine if it was your children who grew up in what is an open-air prison and brutal blockade.
This is a human thing. I like that. This is a humanitarian thing. This is not something that we should be looking at from that lens of just, okay, this is, it's like gangs. People almost take it like a gang. Okay, this is not part of my clique, so I'm not, I mean, if this was the other way around, Muslims also, again, like you quoted the ayah verse from the Quran, we would step up and condemn any group of people's children just being indiscriminately bombed and killed.
Yeah. And the crazy thing is that he said what he said, but if he's paying attention, I mean, just recently, what was it, the Prime Minister of Izzy said that they want to nuke Gaza.
They're talking about that now.
They're talking about that. You tell me, if Izzy was never provoked, if it was never provoked, then why is it that they would go about doing something like this? Because, okay, if they want to condemn Hamas, understandable. But to wipe out an entire population where more than 95% of them is going to be civilians?
And there's people. Christians too.
Yeah.
That's a very good point. And that's something I wanted to address, the whole idea of unprovoked. When you say unprovoked, that for me shows clear ignorance. What does unprovoked mean? Unprovoked means I have no reason, no rational cause for me attacking, saying, or doing anything. That's what unprovoked means. So when you take a group of people who have been in an open air prison, at the best open air prison, at the worst a concentration camp, for about 17 years, most of people in that specific group that attacked Israel are orphans. 80% of them are orphans whose parents were killed by Israel, and they themselves grew up in what seems to be a concentration camp where humanitarian aid was the only source of survival for them. Majority of the adults were unemployed. Many kids express no will to live. The education is completely shot, and they're given below the UN recommended amount of water. Many other things I can go into, but for the sake of time, I'll leave it at that. Is this something that Arnold would be okay with Israel doing? Is he aware that Israel is doing this? And when these people lash out and attack, to be clear, they tried the peaceful route in 2018. They got shot. Literally 50,000 people were shot and injured, over 250 people were killed, and Israel, as UN reported, also targeted journalists and medics, which is a war crime.
That was at the March of Return, correct?
Yeah, March of Return, and that happened in Gaza, just for people to escape.
Those are protesters.
Yeah, exactly, peaceful protesters.
Journalists, doctors, medics, I mean, just you name it, people in wheelchairs.
Exactly, and the IDF shot them. The UN actually specifically reported they practiced shooting from the knee down.
But you know what's amazing? They even spun that somehow. They always try to, they really king at deception, spinning things.
Yeah, very true. And keeping things as quiet as possible. For example, after this happened, I believe it was afterwards, the Gazans actually went to the ICJ, which is a branch of the UN, to pursue a legal case against Israel. They tried peaceful, didn't work. They tried legal, and then the Trump administration threatened to seize the assets to the UN, and then the whole case was swatted. And mind you, UN is the organization that reported the war crimes Israel committed. So all it would take for them is to basically take it to court, and then boom, it's all done. It's all said and done. The case is over, and we know who's guilty. So when that was shot down, they tried the peaceful route, didn't work. They tried the legal route, didn't work. What is left for these people in this concentration camp to do? I'm not saying that what they did is good. I'm not saying that I stand by it. But to Arnold or anyone else who thinks that this is bad, ask yourself, what the heck would you do if your parents were murdered by Israel and you were raised into a concentration camp where you're wandering front to back, end to end, literally just waiting to die?
What's this thing with the permits?
Pardon me?
So the water's controlled, electricity's controlled. Mm-hmm. They often talk about building. They left 2005, but then you have everything is in the other side's control. Like if you want to build a house, you want to do anything, fishing, you want to go fish, you can't, like, you have to get permits. And then there's this game that they play. Yeah. I mean, if you want to go here, let's say in America, you want to go and build your house. You saved up money, you want to go ahead and build your dream house. And now you fulfilled all the requirements and you went to the zoning commission and they keep giving you to run around. Years go by, you can't get the permit. And then they're just doing it because you're of a certain ethnicity, you're a certain religion, and you can't get that permit because of that. But that's what's happening. Is that correct? Is that something?
Yeah.
Did I explain it well? How does it work? Where you cannot fish, you cannot build, you can't do anything because you can't get the permit. Then if you build something and then they tear it down, it's like, oh, we just did it because they didn't have permits.
Yeah.
It's exactly a game they play.
100%. And this, I think, is Israel's way of getting around their atrocities. They give you a way and then make that way also impossible. So they'll say, if you want to fish, you can fish. You just have to get a permit. And then they'll make it nearly impossible for you to get that permit, so then you can't fish. And like you mentioned, the water is controlled, the electricity is controlled, and they will say this is because we want to defend ourselves against Hamas. If they get access to certain resources, they will just attack us and XYZ. But this, what this amounts to is collective punishment, which is a war crime. I want to be very specific with my wording. At the best case scenario, it's a war crime. At the worst case scenario, it's a genocide. And anywhere in between would be what's called a crime against humanity in international law. So they will do this, and then that's in Gaza. If you go over to the West Bank, actually, maybe even a few years ago and today, you will have Supreme Court eviction notices sent to people who have been in, and whose families for generations have been in that specific house, on that specific piece of land for generations. They will receive a Supreme Court eviction notice saying they need to leave to make room for Israeli settlers who have never stepped foot inside of Palestinian land, whose ancestors never stepped foot in Palestinian land. And the people who have been there for generations are kicked out for them. And then if people do want to live within the land, they also have to get a permit, which, again, is also nearly impossible to get.
I completely forgot this. I don't know who said this, but right now in in is Israel, I can say this, right? Not an issue. I already said it, called us. You can't get a blood test. It's illegal to get a blood test, because if all the citizens were to get blood tests, it would actually show that they're actually not from the land, or they have ancestry from all different places.
The DNA test?
A DNA test, yeah. Ancestry test. DNA test, yeah.
Well, yeah, that brings me to my next question. So that's that right of return, where you had people who, for generations, and even they take DNA tests. They even connected to the Canaanites. They're connected to this land, and they can't return. But someone from Brooklyn, New York, can come in. You saw the famous clip that went around and said, "If I'm not stealing it, someone else stealing it."
Yeah.
So that person's not even connected, but he says, "Look, I got from 3,000 years ago. I got a religious birthright to it."
Yeah, this is a hilarious claim to me, because where does it come from? It comes from the Bible. And now my question to them is, will they use the Bible to justify capital punishment? Will they use the Bible to justify other laws? Will they use the Bible to justify slavery again? Will they use the Bible in these ways? No. So why are they selective with what they choose from the Bible? Mm-hmm. Then you have Orthodox Jews that say, listen, we've been expelled by God from the land. We have no right to return. So therefore, it doesn't belong to the Palestinians. Mm-hmm. And then you have people who are logical about it, and they say, listen, the Canaanites were there before the children of Israel, and the Canaanites are, like you mentioned, genetically closest to the Arabs nowadays. Mm-hmm. So therefore, actually Lebanese people specifically. Yeah. So they would have to give Hezbollah the land if they really, really believed this principle.
Yeah, I've had Israeli Jewish friends who are totally against it. And this is what blows my mind. When you see people like that, like Miko Pilid, he was an IDF soldier. His father was a general in the Israeli army. His grandfather was someone who was there signing the original constitution to when the first was started, the state. And he's somebody who's totally took a deep dive, totally against what's going on, and he's speaking the truth. Mm. Then you have other Rabbi Weiss and Rabbi Shapiro, I've had on the program. And these are people, and I think he led 15,000, one of the biggest gatherings of rabbis and Jews who are totally against it. So it's not Muslims against Jews. This is what's called Zionism, Zionist movement. And these are people who are following the Theodor Herzl.
Yeah.
He's the prophet of this, who was an atheist. He was someone who didn't even believe in God. And I feel that you see a lot of these people hiding behind religion.
Mm.
They're not really even following the true teachings of the prophets. No.
This is like good versus evil at this point. And, you know, I'm not surprised that the puppets that are running these countries, you know, the Prophet ﷺ warned about a day like this when truth will be like falsehood and falsehood will be like truth. We had Sheikh Omar Suleiman on the podcast yesterday. And right before, you know, we had the podcast, I was on the way to pick up Rami and Anha, and I saw this one, this article. Because a lot of these puppets, they deny all the death count, you know what I mean? So it was released, you know, they had the names of all the casualties, all of those that were killed in Palestine. And it said something like they were categorized by age, right? So you'll basically see those that didn't even make it to 1 year's, like 1 year old, and their age shows zero because it's in the months. And it was basically just 6 pages of just those before, like infants before the age of one, before it even reached 1 year old. And it's just one after another. And then they deny, oh, you know, it's actually inflated. It's not actually, you know, it's self-defense. So it's like, it's delusion. And this has been genuinely, I believe, in the modern day, one of the biggest, I guess you could say, scams, where the media has hijacked the narrative. And I believe that they overplayed their hand and people are waking up. And they don't want to take this anymore. Honestly.
You see them affiliating, like on the mainstream media, as sympathizers to a certain group, which most, like myself, I had no idea about many of these groups. And I would often say, when they say this name, I say hummus. You know, hummus, like we eat the hummus, because I like most of them, we don't know. And then you have people who are protesting. And then they try to connect them to a particular group and whatnot. But would you say this is a deliberate attempt to confuse the situation? Because what I mean, I see is And most people see, what do you guys think, is people are out there because they're seeing the injustices that are happening. They've done some homework, and they're seeing the land grab. They're seeing injustices happening, apartheid. Nelson Mandela called it. Jimmy Carter called it. Mandela was Tutu. You know, so many people who are sincere, who they are following their heart. They have a conscience.
Exactly.
And many Israelis, many Jewish people, Israeli historians, Amnesty International, human rights organizations right. have condemned this as apartheid state. So they're like, hold on. We're seeing it in real time. We don't want to be people who just are complicit in this. They're getting out there and they're protesting, and now they're trying to shut this down even, and they're kind of confuse the situation and make it seem like these people are extremists. What are your thoughts on that?
I do want to just quickly say that regarding this whole mainstream media, I think that we live in a day and age now where after 2020, 2021, 2022, not going to mention what the things happened in, you know, government control, but people are kind of waking up and really doing the research for themselves. I think you guys would agree with that. Mm-hmm. And that's why there's the thing with Elon Musk. It's like we never really know his pure intentions, but him taking over Twitter, turning into X, I can guarantee you at least one thing, that from what's apparent, there's a lot of free speech on mm-hmm. X compared to the mainstream media. There's a brother by the name of Jackson Hinkle, who I believe he's a not far right, but at least right-leaning Republican from America. And he's posting actual real news about pro-Palestinians every single day. And I think he went from zero to like 2 million followers on X in like a matter of 2 weeks. This type of stuff would never happen. This is the same guy that got banned on YouTube. Right, so I think they're working overtime to make sure that the real news doesn't come out, but it's going to eventually come out at the end of the day, and we just pray that it's going to be in this life and not in the hereafter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and to answer your question, to put it in the words of the political scientist Norman Finkelstein, Israel's a lunatic state. When you have a lunatic, the
this is a Jewish academic,
yeah,
right?
He's a his Jewish
family
academic.
Was in the Holocaust, yeah. A survivor of his family, so yeah. He's someone who's actually Jewish yeah. background speaking up on behalf yeah. of the injustices.
Yeah, and to talk about him for a brief moment, because I do admire him a lot for these reasons.
What's say his name again?
Norman Finkelstein.
People going to look him up. Norman yeah. Finkelstein?
Yeah, he's been researching the topic for 40 years, and it broke my heart when I heard him on a show recently say that at some point he lost hope. At some point even he moved on to different topics, and he said he was ashamed to admit that. This is someone who's has a very close connection, very personal connection to the topic of genocide, the topic of putting people into blockades and concentration camps and cleansing them based on ethnicity, referring to them as human animals and insects and all this stuff, as Israel and their actual spokespeople have referred to Palestinians as. So when you have a lunatic, the easiest, softest thing, the least punitive crime they could commit is lying, is distorting, misrepresenting. So when you have these Israeli spokespersons, whether they're in Israel or people like Ben Shapiro here in the West, parroting the same nonsensical statements like Israel has a right to defend itself, when legally they are the occupier, which makes it legally impossible for them to even be defending themselves. I think it's very obvious that they are the liars in the situation. Let's just look at the evidence. Like, let's look at the footage. I have yet to see a single Israeli baby killed. I loathe seeing something like that. I don't want to see it. And thank God I haven't, alhamdulillah. I have seen hundreds of babies on the Palestinian side killed, blown to pieces. I've seen severed arms the size of my hand. I have seen, we have all seen grotesque things that Israel's done to the Palestinian people. I don't want to see evidence of the other side. But when Israel's lied time and time again, you can't help but demand some kind of evidence to substantiate what they have been saying, especially when other organizations report otherwise. The BBC was on the ground. They said, we have no evidence of 40 decapitated babies. They were in the city, in the town where it allegedly happened.
Yeah, we don't have a problem. I don't think any Muslim has a problem condemning or being repulsed or saddened or however you want to put it. Totally against seeing any Israeli babies or children. I mean, this is something that obviously, because of our religion, because of the justice of Islam, Islam is totally against this. You Absolutely. Opened up with that verse from the Quran. So we don't have a problem. We don't want babies killed from any side. But it's interesting now, they're even using the Bible, and you see this term, Amalites. They're trying to dehumanize the Palestinians there. And you have, and I'm just surprised, you even have rabbis who are coming out and justifying this. Zionists, I would say Zionist rabbis, because I don't think this is something that any sane person of God, justice, love, mercy is going to, and I think this is honestly one of the verses that has been, because we know the Bible has been altered and changed. The Quran tells us this, and that's why the Quran was sent. But we'll get into that. Was one of my next clips here. I want to get your guys' reaction. Go ahead.
Yeah, before we go into the next one, the thing that I want to bring up, kind of going back to the Germans, right? Yeah. What they did. The craziest thing that Hitler ever did was not kill millions of Jews. The craziest thing he ever did was convincing an entire nation that they needed to be exterminated. And if you look at what's happening right now, anyone, put all the things that you're hearing aside and just look at what's happening right now. And then ask yourself the question, this whole nation of Israel, and now this whole nation outside of Israel, like in America, or anywhere in the world really, anyone who's being exposed to the mainstream media, there's this narrative, and everyone is being convinced that Israel is the one that is the victim. That they're the ones that are the victim, when clearly, like, it shows. And you have, like you said, you have these rabbis, you have these people who are saying that these Palestinians are like rats, that are like the, what was the word you used, the Amalek?
Yeah, Amalek, yes.
And that they all need to be exterminated. Bro, they're convincing an entire generation that these people need to be exterminated from the face of the earth. Now, you answer, or I ask the question to you, I ask the question to everyone watching this. Is that not the same thing that Hitler did?
Mm. Yeah, so you see that projection now. It's like they projecting it, and what they, because they're also trying to flip it and saying these guys are Nazis and whatnot, and they're projecting this. I mean, I think it's safe to say you would agree. I mean, the Muslims down there, the Christians, Palestinians, they would love to live together with their neighbors in peace. Just don't steal my home and my land.
Absolutely.
It's very simple.
I mean, you're Palestinian. Can I say that? Is that fair? Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Again, like we Palestinians, Arabs, Muslims specifically, we don't have any problem with Jewish people. We love them just like anyone else. Like they have lived with Muslims, alongside Muslims, very peacefully for hundreds of years. There have been times, like you mentioned, Umar radiallahu anhu, he sent a Jewish revert. This is how specific he was. He sent a Jewish revert to Islam to find 80 Jewish families to bring back to Jerusalem after the Romans expelled them. You don't do this to people you hate. You don't do this to people you want to exterminate.
That's deep, man.
Yeah.
That's what I was talking about.
Yeah, and you were absolutely right about that. But on what Israel is doing now, this is one of the main tactics of a liar. If they have committed a crime against you, they will turn around and accuse you of that crime, because no sane person would ask if you committed the crime that I committed. Like, people should have more shame than that. But that is what Israel has done time and time again. Amnesty International, 22 days of death and destruction. They reported that Hamas did not use any human shields, but Israel used Palestinians as human shields. I urge everyone to look it up.
You have the West Bank, right?
Yeah.
Now what they're doing there, there's not this, this resistance group is not there.
Not at all.
So what are they doing there? They're coming in, and you had, I think there was, like, before all of this happened, I think you had one Palestinian a day was dying.
Yeah, yeah.
Was that the number? Every day there was a Palestinian dying.
Yeah, and more thrown in prisons. Let me tell you what they were doing. What they were doing in the West Bank is exposing their true colors. Because when they do what they're doing in Gaza, and they say, we're not ethnically cleansing, we're not causing a genocide, we're not trying to steal more land, even though they've been talking about it forever, when you look at the West Bank, that's exactly what they're doing. There's no Hamas, as you mentioned. There's no terrorist group. They're, the most violent people there are, if anything, are the IDF, who break into people's homes. They break into one home. They jump from one roof to another, go through that home, and then leave. They practice this routinely every day and every night as well. They're the most violent people in that land. Like I mentioned, these people are sent Supreme Court eviction notices just to boot them out of their home to make room for Israeli settlers. Where do they go? Lord knows. They don't know where they're going to go. Israel doesn't care where they go. So they are very clearly just trying to impede more on Palestinian land.
See, if you just said that as a Palestinian, people are like, oh, he's lying. he's not telling the truth, but this is what you're saying. This is IDF, the soldiers are saying.
Yeah, that. There's a website called Breaking the Silence where they speak about all of their atrocities committed. Some of them, let me add, don't say this because their humanity finally kicked in. They treat it as interviews. There are people sitting behind 4K cameras, kind of like in this setting, where they just talk about doing I don't want to get anything demonetized, but they do very grotesque things to Palestinians using flamethrowers and assaulting them in various degrading ways. So they are very vocal.
They're coming out.
They themselves are saying, like, imagine I came on air and like, oh, I killed this person, I shot that person, I did, like, admitting it blatantly as if I'm proud of it. That's what they do routinely, unfortunately.
All right, let's go to the next video. So we'll often see one thing happening, but I was very, very elated to see another side that we are not seeing, because Allah is the best of planners. Allah plans, they plan Allah plans, and Allah is the best of planners. So there's things that are happening that we just, we don't see the whole picture. Mm-hmm. We just see a part of it. So I'm going to get you guys' reaction to this.
100% feel comfortable saying that what's happening now to the Palestinian people is another Holocaust. And they're still saying,
Alhamdulillah.
Muslim Palestinians still seeing them say, Allah is all-knowing.
Palestinians are doing everything that was described Job doing in the Bible.
I've not seen any footage of Palestinian people cursing Jewish people or Israeli people. These are people of God.
I know these people were blessed by Allah himself.
The old faith is such an indomitable hope.
They don't give up about this life. Okay? The only thing these people fear is Allah. That's it.
If this is the campaign to get nations to be Islamic, it's doing it.
I've been shocked to my core at the faith Muslim people have. What is happening in Palestine has opened my eyes to the beauty of Islam.
That's something that people don't get to see often. Definitely not here in the West.
Into the Bible, asking logical questions, we're not allowed. When I read through the Quran, I see logic and divinity brought together.
The result of that is on social media, I have seen so many people picking up the Quran and reading it.
Through, you know, this entire thing with Palestine, so many more people are learning about Islam. So many more people are reading the Quran.
You're gonna have a lot of people turning to Islam soon.
It's happening again. It's like all these people, I see Quran book club, I see people deciding to convert to Islam because they're like, what is really going on here?
I just bought my first copy of the Quran.
I got the Quran.
I started reading the Quran.
It's my day two in reading the Quran.
Literally are thanking God.
Seeing the brave Palestine people
as they're losing everything.
So much faith and peace while their families are being murdered.
United States, we need a lot more empathy and understanding of Muslims and the Arab world.
I need to know what y'all put in Islam, okay?
Just from reading the second surah, I'm like, I get it. I understand why there's such a steadfast faith to anyone that follows Islam. Being shown just how wrong we were about this faith and how rich, how deep, and just the language of it. Oh, how fluid and beautiful it is.
We've been lied to, the Western people. And I took my shahada. I feel tremendous peace. And I'm going to be reading it forever.
Subhanallah, Allahu Akbar.
Did you guys see that?
Yeah, absolutely, bro.
Yeah? Yeah.
SubhanAllah.
SubhanAllah. These people right now are acting as the pillars, you know, in the Muslim community. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy on them, grant them the highest levels of Jannah, and continue to make them an inspiration for us. Something that Sheikh Omar Sulaiman mentioned on a podcast that we did with him was something that was sent to him, and I'm going to paraphrase a bit, but along the lines of that, you know, basically they have the right upon us or for us to be happy, to see us, you know, thriving and all that stuff, and we also have a right towards them, that we don't forget about them, you know, in our joy, in our good times, and that, you know, we have to speak out for them. And alhamdulillah, they have been like tremendous. Like people think that we're doing something for them, you know. I swear they're doing way more for us. I swear they're doing so much more for me than I could ever do for them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy on them and bless them. Mm-hmm. And I have seen a lot of people on TikTok, just, you know, just scrolling through, I see people doing live Quran sessions and reading the Quran more, all because these amazing men and women are leading by example.
That is deep, yeah.
You know how many non-Muslims and Westerners looked into Islam after 9/11? I think it's a cascade effect. And the masks are falling, as Sheikh Omar always says. You know, he led the khutbah in the St. Louis Masjid, and he was saying that all this did was just expose everyone's true intention, you know, to the masses.
Because they're going and looking to see, what does the Quran say?
Exactly.
Smart person would be like, okay, let's see, what's the Quran say for myself? Absolutely. They know the media lies, and they're like, wow, they're just blown away. And they start like talking about, you know, how the Quran is beautiful, how is this, how is that. And you've seen, I mean, you recently, not too long ago, also had a similar experience, right? What was, we had your story. You're someone who came to Islam. How long has it been now? 3-4 years? Yes. 2 years.
It's been a little over 3 years.
3 years, around, yeah. 3 years, yeah.
A little over 3 years.
Can you relate also, like?
Yeah, I can. It's very beautiful to see something like that, especially when the woman says that these people, speaking about the Palestinians, that, yeah, they don't care about this life, they just care about Allah.
Yeah, you heard that, huh?
And like, I hear that, bro, and it makes me look at my own life and like how I make mistakes, and
yeah, really, it's deep, man. I mean, you see, like, bombs are falling on them, and we're over here complaining about this, that, and the other, and it's a shame, yeah?
Yeah, may Allah forgive us.
Ameen, ameen.
Ameen, bro.
May Allah keep our hearts alive. I feel it, man. This is amazing. And you see, like, how they're talking about the woman's like, she's not even, they're not even cursing. I don't hear them even cursing Jews. I don't even, did you hear her say that?
Yeah.
I haven't heard one video cursing Jews. I haven't heard one of them, like, you know, you would imagine they're like cursing, F this, F that in the language. I mean, you speak the Palestinian, right? I mean, Palestinian, right? Arabic. I mean, you see, of course, the sadness is there. Of course, you have emotions and everything, but most of them are saying, say God is one. Say, there's nothing worthy of worship but God. The kalima, right? You see them saying, la ilaha illallah. That means there's nothing worthy of worship but God. And then they go back, and some of them are even accepting Islam. And why? The question for anybody, why would you, if the mainstream media is telling you these are sympathizers to a barbaric way of life and they're animals, this, that, and the other, but then the smart people, they're going and investigating, exactly. And here's the reactions we got right here. Here's the reactions. And these are just the people, these are just the people that came out. How many people are camera shy? Don't operate with, you know, TikTok or any of these? How many of them are there, huh?
Yeah. I'll never forget, bro. I think this was something that Sheikh Omar was saying, that If you have a problem with Islam and Islam doesn't make sense to you, then you're going to convince yourself that Islam doesn't make sense, period, and that it doesn't make sense to anybody. But it has nothing to do with Islam. Mm-hmm. It has everything to do with you. You have a personal obligation, not even as, you know, a Muslim or a non-Muslim, but just as a human being, to just wake up and do your damn research. Like, it shouldn't be that difficult. Everybody has that personal obligation to do that. Because we live in a world today where truthhood is quite literally being portrayed as falsehood, and falsehood is being, you know, shoved down our throats as truth. And I believe that as a man, as a woman, as a Muslim, as a non-Muslim, we're all gonna die. It's guaranteed. And Allah says in the Quran that on that day, even Shaitan, Iblis, the devil himself, he's not gonna co-sign for our mistakes. He's not gonna take any accountability. We can't diffuse anything and be a victim on that day and even blame the devil himself. So I don't understand why people can't just wake up and again, at the end of the day, that's why Allah says in the Quran, like, it's not up to you, O Prophet. Allah guides who he wills. You know, you can just give them the message, you can take them to the water, you can't make them drink. So it's unfortunate, but it warms my heart, you know, seeing all these brothers and sisters in that TikTok compilation that you showed us right now, Eddie, that there's still so many sincere people with ikhlas. Like, they want it. They want the truth. And I'm sure, you know, back in the Jahiliyyah, all of us, we can relate to this, that there's a turning point where we just wanted the truth. And once it clicks, it clicks. Once you hit that 5 out of 5, you know, in your salah, you don't go back. Mm-hmm. It's just clear-headed, you know? And I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can give that to everyone. And anybody watching, you know, the only thing that I can recommend you is to read the Quran. You know, if you don't know Arabic, obviously, get the clear Quran or an English translation that you prefer. And just start with that. You know, this is what happened with Brother Anho over here, who's a revert, with myself and Rami. We're born Muslims, but we came onto it of our own, you know, volition later in our life. Same with you, obviously, Eddie. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Alhamdulillah. SubhanAllah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, alhamdulillah, he intends for us ease. You know, he intends for us goodness. And he says, فَإِنَّمَا الْأُسْرِ يُسْرًا. He says, indeed, after hardship, there is ease. Which shows that with any kind of difficulty, calamity, there will be some kind of ease, some kind of goodness that comes of it, alhamdulillah, whether in this life or the next. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he also tells us that the Prophet is an excellent example for us. And we can see that these people are really embodying the sunnah of the Prophet and the sunnah of the real Muslimin, alhamdulillah. And we see the effects of that. There are people who accepted Islam just because of the character of the Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam. And there's one video I saw on TikTok that didn't make it into the compilation because it was posted literally yesterday, alhamdulillah, or maybe even earlier today. One woman who's looking into Islam, she was crying and she said, I found this verse in the Quran.
I'm reading the Quran and I'm tearing up because I've been so worried about the Palestinian people and especially the kids who've been dying. And it says here in the Quran in 2:145, and it's the section 154, do not say that those who are killed in God's cause are dead. They are alive, but you are not aware of it. We shall certainly test you with fear and hunger and loss of property, lives, and crops. Give good news to those who endure with fortitude. Why does this just give me so much peace? Those who say, when afflicted with a calamity, we belong to God and to Him we shall return, are the ones who will have blessings and mercy from their Lord. It is they who are on the right path. This is exactly what the people in Palestine are doing. They keep thanking God when everything is going wrong. And we can't even thank God when everything is going right. We have a lot to learn.
Or Allah says, do not say about those who died in the cause of Allah that they're dead. He says, rather they're with Allah receiving his provisioning, subhanAllah. And I think for her it clicked that this is why the people of Gaza are so steadfast on Islam. This is why they're not, you know, turning against God, asking why did God do this to me, and instead they're happy because this beautiful religion from the Creator gives us the reassurance that every human being is looking for. We're insecure people. You don't know why you're here unless you have Islam. You don't know what you're doing here. You don't know where you came from, why you're here, or where you're going. And that is a very insecure state to be in, and insecurity will always breed, you know, chaos afterwards. So alhamdulillah for Islam, and alhamdulillah for the brothers here, may Allah bless them.
Alhamdulillah. I just wanted to say, Anhal, if you feel, you know, like you're back on 10, do you want to share what you're going to say, if you feel okay?
Yeah, I was just going to say, man, and forgive me, I don't usually cry, so.
I feel you, man. When I first saw that, it was,
it was tearing deep, up, man. Yeah. May Allah soften our hearts.
I mean.
It's a blessing.
Ameen.
It's just crazy to see, because you have the verse in the Quran where Allah says that indeed they plan, but indeed Allah plans, and Allah plans is greater.
Yes.
And something that I learned a long time ago is that the only way that we as humans, we can connect the dots is by looking back, looking at what's already happened. And the only person that can connect the dots looking forward is Allah. And when we hear this ayah in the Quran, like, we understand it, yes, but now we're seeing it. And we're seeing these people, what they're going through, and what Rami said, how they're doing more for us than we're doing for them. You know, like, what they're going through, the dawah that they're giving to all these people that are not Muslims, what they're making actual Muslims realize and just wake up and move away from this dunya, from this life, and get back closer to Allah. Like, it's just, to me, it's a very, very beautiful thing to see. Like, I, again, my heart really goes out to these people. And anyone in the right state of mind would want this to stop, right? But as a Muslim...
Wait, say that part again. Anyone in their right state of mind, huh?
Anyone in the right state of mind.
Absolutely.
Yeah, anyone in the right state of mind. So, and that's pretty much it. That's what I want to say.
Right state of mind, and if the heart's not totally black, right?
Yes. It's like the hadith where the Prophet says that in the piece of body, or in the body there's a piece of flesh, that if it's good, then verily is the rest. And that piece of flesh is the heart.
Yeah. And does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not say in the Quran that it's not the eyes that are blind, but it's the hearts? Mm-hmm. These people, they see it, man. They see what's going on. Don't think that they don't, but there's a spiritual disease in the heart. They can't comprehend right from wrong. Mm-hmm. And, you know, may Allah guide them to the point where they do.
Ameen.
Because we need a world where, as cliche as it sounds, man, but it is a domino effect. And I believe that these people, yes, you know, we have to abide by the rulings of Allah. You know, we can't be in incorrect hijab shouting at these rallies. You get what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But we have to do something. And that's what Sheikh Omar was saying. We have to be loud indoors, on point with our salah, on point with our ibadah, right? And we have to be loud out there. And it's with this that Allah will, inshallah, give us salvation. You know?
Inshallah. Jazakallah khair, guys. You actually both sparked a thought in my head, alhamdulillah. It's difficult for us when we see these things. We want to look away. We want to turn away. And I want to give a message to everyone who's watching, who sees this stuff happening and wants to turn away, wants to get away, go back to their work, their daily jobs, as if nothing's happening. These people have no choice but to deal with it. You're just seeing it. They're living it. You can turn off your phone. They can't turn off what's going on with them. So, to make it simple, I will say that these people have a right over us. For the Muslimin, we have an obligation to enjoin good and forbid evil, and to be there to uphold the rights of Muslims, and to uphold the dignity and the honor of Muslims. And at the end of the day, if we are not going to be there to stand up for what is right, what is just, whether it's a Muslim or a Christian or an atheist or a Jew, even if it's a Zionist whose rights are being taken from them, if we're not going to be the ones to go and make sure they get their rights, who will do it? Definitely not Israel, and definitely not America. So it's up to us as human beings, at the very least, as Muslims, alhamdulillah, but extend it to everyone as human beings. If you want to see a world of good, then you have to enjoin that good yourself. And if you want to see a world without evil, then you have to forbid that evil yourself.
And I wanted to add a note to that, bro. Jazakallah khair. That was beautiful. And it was necessary that we all hear that message. And to add to that wonderful note, it breaks my heart amidst this genocide going on YouTube. And I see brothers, Muslim brothers, unfortunately, making drama and reaction videos on other Muslim brothers. A da'i coming for another da'i. We're picking faults at a valid ikhtilaf, difference in opinion in fiqh. Yet we can't even unite against the common enemy. Isn't that pathetic? That we're out here making videos, oh, message to this, message to that. You know, I see this in the dawah scene, unfortunately. But can we not just unite for once? Like, is that too much to ask in the dawah scene? Because we're the creators at the end of the day. We're the ones that make these videos, and we're the ones that have a platform. And Allah has given us that platform. It's not a right, it's a privilege. So it's a responsibility at the end of the day. We've been given this, and I believe that we'll be questioned more about how we use this platform. if all the Muslims united, you know, 2 billion plus, this is what's reported, right? All the people, all the reverts, Allahu Akbar, they can't even declare that they're Muslim because their parents might kick them out. Mm. How many Muslims do you think there are? Probably way more than that. If we all united as one ummah, right? As the Prophet ﷺ mentioned, one body. Do you not think that we can actually make legitimate, significant change? But shaitan will come to you and tell you, your individual efforts will make no difference. That little $5 that you were going to donate will make no difference. Your one dua will not change the world. It's already decreed. Yes, it's already decreed, but do we not have to work for it? That's why there's a difference. We were listening to this khutbah in the car, and they were saying that there's a difference between tawakul and tawakkul in Arabic. Tawakul is just having this blind faith. I'm not going to lift a finger. I'm waiting for that job, but I'm not going to go apply. I'm waiting for change. I'm not doing anything. But tawakkul is when you do everything that you can do in your power and responsibility as a Muslim, and you put your trust in Almighty Allah. And that's the level that I pray that we can all make dua to get to, inshallah.
Ameen. Thank you, guys.
Last thing I was going to say is that it's a shame that as Muslims, you know, we had to get this far in order for us to start, you know, really coming together. And you guys see, you know, you probably check what's going on in Palestine, and it's just, it gets worse and worse as time progresses. And as it's getting worse, you notice that the Muslims are letting go of these dumb things and actually starting to come together. So I understand where you're coming from, bro. It's just a shame that if there is no difficult thing happening right now, then you have Muslims over here trying to correct them. Oh, brother, you know, when you pray, your foot has to be like this when you sit on it, and your foot has to be turned this way, not this way. Like, come on, bro, there's more important things, you know. So I think the biggest call to action that we can give all the viewers is to just quit playing around, come together, and like we were saying, be the voice for the Palestinians, because without us on the outside, they won't have anyone to speak for them. So may Allah make it easy for
Allah
us.
Allah, I mean, and I just wanted to say that was brilliant, bro. It's not that halal, haram, and fiqh doesn't matter, or it's unimportant, of course. It's an essential pillar of our faith. Mm-hmm. Not one of the five pillars before he'll come after me, but it's an essential foundation. But when you look at the Quran being revealed, first numerous years, there was no halal, haram. It was just tawheed, it was manners. Being a good human being, first and foremost. If you're a Muslim, you have to be a good human being. Because if you're not, then are you really a mu'min? That's up to Allah, not for me to judge, but I think it's absolutely important to be really looking at your own self in the mirror before pointing at the faults of your own brothers and sisters, you know. And I think that a lot of people, unfortunately, they project, just like the mainstream media now, when they're reminding you too much. Maybe they're the one that need the reminder the most, you know.
Thank you so much, Eddie, for having us. Yeah, alhamdulillah. Again, I want to say, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless the people of Palestine. Bless everyone who's enjoining good and forbidding evil. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept those who died in Gaza and in the West Bank as shuhada, and grant them the highest levels of Jannah. Allow them and their families to reunite, and bless these amazing people for being such inspirations for all of us. Allahumma ameen.
Nice having the three Muslims.
Yes, alhamdulillah. Thank you so much for having us. It's been a pleasure. You guys have been immensely hospitable. So may Allah reward you.
Ameen, ameen, ameen. Thank you, guys. Jazakallah.
What are we eating tonight, bro? Persian.
Huh?
Persian food.
Yeah.
All right. Bismillah. All right. Let's get it.
Let's do it. All right, brother. Jazakallah. Thank you.
Wa alaykum.
Assalamu alaikum. Wa alaykum.
Wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
This guy right here, this guy's trying to build a dawah center in our country. I'm not talking to you right now. You're a solo. You're trying to build a dawah center here. Islam is violent by nature.
Assalamu alaikum, brothers and sisters. This is exactly why we need the Deen Center, because we have over 300 million Americans who know nothing about Islam, like this guy.
You want to have a talk?
This guy's trying to build a dawah center in our country. And Surah 9 is the most violent chapter of the Quran.
The Deen Center will be a source of light, a mega dawah center, an educational center, helping our brothers and sisters in humanity truly understand Islam and Muslims. And brothers and sisters, remember, the great rewards of just guiding one person in humanity to the truth is better than everything in this dunya. So get in on all the rewards and blessings. Click the link below. Donate right now. May God Almighty Allah reward all of you.
I I cannot leave without giving you a gift. If you're not yet Muslim and you tune in to see what these Muslims are talking about and you like a free copy of the Quran, go ahead and visit thedeanshow.com. We'll take care of the postage and everything and get it delivered to you. And if you still have some questions about Islam, call us at 1-800-662-4752. We'll see you next time. Until then, peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum.